This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Dale Campbell here on the Generic Live Show. Huge news. We are back after a couple of months off hiatus. We had some scheduling issues, but they are all sorted out now. And we've got a new home. Sunday. 9 till 11. So this will be normally the first hour of the program, but it's going to become... It's the second hour of this program, but it would normally be the first hour of the new program. Anyway, this time on Sunday, we'll be kicking off GLS in its new time slot of 9 to 11, Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone, 7 to 9, Sunday morning, Eastern Time in the US, Sundays from here on out. Sunday around the globe, here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So glad you can be with us, by the way. Thank you for all the support over the last couple of months we've had off, and no doubt some of the news that we didn't cover over the hiatus will be coming up in the best of 2016, no doubt. Lots to get through today. The first hour was jam-packed, filled with content. The second hour is going to be even more jam-packed, and we're going to jump right in to the Australian elections. And by the way, Hillary Clinton is the presumptive Democratic nominee, but we'll cover that. That is late-breaking news this evening. As you're waking up in the US today, that is the news that Hillary Clinton, with the superdelegates, has hit that number, the magic number required to be the presumptive Democratic nominee. So, but we'll get to that in just a second. We've got debate coverage going back a week or two ago now. We've got debate coverage of the Australian Press Club. We've had two debates, by the way, here in Australia's politics. Interesting kind of perspective here. Want to bring this to you. We've had a debate, and the issue of trust has come up in these debates. Want to play this for you in we played it last hour, but want to bring it to you in full this time. Basically, the question of will you, whoever is elect, if it's the incumbent, incoming Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, or if it's the opposition leader Bill Shorten, will you last the full term, is the question that was put together. Here is Bill Shorten's response, basically, to that question. Here it is.
Well, Labor's learned its lesson about that difficult period, and I'm fortunate to lead a very united team. But we do talk about trust tonight and in this election. And Labor can be trusted on Medicare. We will make sure that bulk billing is preserved. We will make sure that GPs get regular modest increases in payments from Medicare so they don't have to introduce upfront fees for patients. Labor can be trusted on education. We want to make sure that every child and every school gets every opportunity, because we would properly fund schools, government schools and non-government schools, according to the needs. Labor can be trusted on climate change. I never thought when Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister that I'd be debating Tony Abbott Light on climate change. And all of the climate change policies of the government are essentially Mr. Abbott's policies. You can trust Labor on fair taxation and to provide more action on home affordability, and you can certainly trust Labor to ensure that women in our society get an equal go.
That is opposition leader Bill Shorten continues, was pushed to respond. Here is his response to the question.
Australians can trust me to be consistent about a range of issues, taking real action on climate change. Australians can trust Labor not to support, under any circumstances, a 15% GST. Australians can trust Labor to always defend Medicare, especially against privatising any of the parts of Medicare. Australia can always trust Labor to make sure that working class and middle class families get a fair go from the workplaces to the schools, to making sure their kids get a fair crack at getting to university, not based upon their parents'
wealth. And trust that you'll
wealth.
Still be there at the end of a term if things get hard?
Well, earlier on I did specifically answer Ellen's question. I said that the Labor Party had learnt from that difficult period, and we've demonstrated more unity of purpose than we have in a very long time. We've learnt our lesson.
That is Opposition Leader Bill Shorten there. Malcolm Turnbull's response to the trust question. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I thank Bill for the name-calling, but let me deal with the big issue that you've raised. We know that our future depends on strong economic leadership. I'm as committed to every Australian having a good education, having the chance of a good education, as everyone else here, including Bill. I had a great education. I was brought up by a single dad who didn't have much money, and he struggled to send me to school, and I had some really charismatic teachers that transformed my life. I would not be where I am today without them. I understand, as does Lucy, the transformative nature of good education. And of course we agree that government money should be allocated on the basis of needs. The difference between what we will spend, federal money, over the next 4 years, and what Labor is proposing is the difference between $74 and $78 billion. It is a $4 billion is a lot of money. But we are spending more than ever before. Our government is, my government is. And what we are seeking is great outcomes. So we are going to ensure that every child at the age of five when they go to school is assessed so that we find out which kid is doing well, which one is behind, so that action can be taken immediately. We want to make sure that this growing gap between the best performing and the worst performing kids stops growing and contracts. You see, we have been spending more and more on schools, and yet the outcome has been getting worse. Now, that's money is important, but we have to make sure we get the right results, the right outcomes for our children, because they are our future.
That is, Malcolm Turnbull continues.
My position in politics, the positions that I've taken in politics, have been consistent over the years. I am a well-known quantity in Australian public life. I did not come into this role as a political activist. I did not come in here as a political staffer. I came into this role as an adult at 50, after a lifetime of working, building businesses in many, many areas, creating jobs, standing up for the enterprise of hard-working Australians that we all know is the foundation on which our future is based, and we are backing them. We are backing every one of them, the small businesses, the medium businesses, and in due course, all businesses.
All businesses. That is Malcolm Turnbull there. Now, I said this last hour, there's something about this debate that doesn't seem personal. And I understand that's the setup of our elections, and that's how our elections are run. We're electing a party as a political party as opposed to a president. But this is from both sides. This is a non-partisan argument. We need to know who you are, and the point of a debate, and we've seen the debate like debates like this in the past. We need to know who you are. It's all good and well telling us how you stand, but, you know, we need to know, the Australian public need to know who you are. This is the first debate. This is the second debate, by the way. The third debate, I failed to mention this last hour, the third debate will be taking place on Facebook. And by the way, for those here locally, the worm, quote-unquote the worm that we've all come to know and love, yeah, it's not making an appearance this year, apparently. They've abolished it because it's too negative. And the worm, by the way, is a character, just to describe it for people, it's a character of that shows popularity of the debater, the one of the two debaters, or three debaters, or four debaters, I mean, I have people on the stage, simulators which way the audience is going, and it's a little character. It's quite adorable, actually, now that I think about it. But I feel like, I don't know, it's strange to me. But that how not personal this debate was. And I listened to it earlier today in preparation for the show, but it just doesn't feel personal to me. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Opinion. But that's just what blurted out to me. Now, they actually talked about refugees. And we'll play both sides. They're going to do a bit of a heated argument. We don't have the argument here, but we have what both sides said about refugees. And we'll start with the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, on refugees.
That the people that are detained on Nauru and Manus, who came under Labor's government, they arrived during the Labor government. We are committed to ensuring that they are treated humanely and have the opportunity to return from whence they came, to the countries they came from, or be resettled in other countries, but they will not come to Australia.
That is Malcolm Turnbull there. This is what opposition leader Bill Shorten had to say at the debate about in regards to refugees.
When it comes to stopping the people smugglers, whoever forms the government after July the 2nd, there will be no change in policy about our determination to defeat the people smugglers, the criminal syndicates who prey upon people, take them out to sea, and in too many tragic cases, drown.
That's what Mr. Shorten had to say about refugees. Now, both say that they would stop people who are coming here illegally. They would stop the boats. Now, I'm seeing articles around the place, and I was going to include one of them, but I simply just ran out of time in the run sheet here, and we are running a little bit behind, but we'll catch up in time here as we continue. But how Donald Trump is bad for Australia, and how his views of building a wall are bad for Australia. I'm sorry, people who wrote those articles. Last time I checked, we're turning away boats who are floating here. I don't think that we're too humane to refugees if we are people who are coming here in overcrowded boats and we're turning them away to their place, giving them more risks for them to drown in the ocean. Last time I checked, we're not too kind to refugees either, and illegal immigrants either. So, pot, meat, kettle, you're both black. Now, I think, though, the difference is we're not isolating these people. Now, I have a really weird stance on immigration, the topic of immigration, which I don't have time to go into here because we're simply just running out of time and we've only got a two-hour broadcaster here and we've got a lot of news to cover. But I feel like it's just a weird thing to... suffice it to say, it's a weird situation to say one thing about Donald Trump and how he is bad for immigration and migrants, and then to say, nah, we're just going to turn away boats and we're just going to let that fly because... what? Do journalists not know their own country? It's just like they have no idea. So we continue here on a Tuesday on the Generic Live Show. We're trying to catch up on all things election. Not all things election. We've got a few other bits and pieces here. We have a lot of stuff to cover. We've got a new poll out that pretty much shows a few interesting trends, and we've got to break that down. I've been promising that since the first of the broadcast. We'll get to that in the next segment. We're running a little bit behind schedule, but we'll get there. And some late breaking news if you're waking up in America today. We'll have your presumptive nominee, Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's 9:19. Live show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Joe. I just called myself Joe. The hell is wrong with me? It's because Hillary Clinton is a presumptive Democratic nominee. My head has just gone bleh. Yep. We're going there. I just called myself Joe. You know, off the rails. But I will say this, I was thinking this in the commercial break. I was thinking, what if my name was Joe? What if my name was actually Joe? What Joe Surf would work? Would I be equated to... This is really dumb. Would I be equated to a shepherd all the time? No? Okay. I don't know. But yeah, Hillary Clinton is on the blink of the Democratic nomination. She's clinched the magic number of becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee. Now, what does this mean? This means, well, she has hit the magic number of 2,383 delegates to make herself the presumptive nominee. She'll become the first female nominee for a major U.S. political party to be nominated. The Bernie Sanders campaign quickly came out and said, "Hang on, hold the phone. Phone, you be held. The phone... The phone was like this." Actually, that's a school bell. The phone was like that, and the Sanders campaign said, "Hold that phone. We're going to put in a call, because superdelegates, those superdelegates that haven't casted their votes, technically, they should not be counted." Now, that is a fair call by Mr. Sanders, but they are being counted. You got to think too, but they're probably being counted for both campaigns. You got to think if they've been held, you know, if they're being counted by Bernie Sanders, they've been counted for Hillary Clinton. You got to think, you know, there's two sides to every argument. You got to think that they, you know, if what's good for one's going to be good for the other. And the Associated Press, yeah, did report it first, but. You've got primaries to win. California is the big one, though, today in the U.S. If you're waking up, good morning. But Sanders is in a big coup, and he's staying in, apparently, according to the report by the BBC. He's staying in, and, you know, you got to think. She has won 29 caucuses and primaries to his 21. So she has one more contested. Ms. Clinton, former Secretary of State, New York Senator, and First Lady, leads Mr. Sanders by 3 million votes, 291 pledged delegates, and 523 superdelegates, according to the Associated Press. Now, in saying that, She's got the presumptive nomination. You got to think, all right, so to give the full list, the full breakdown of who is voting today, you've got California, you've got Montana, you've got New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, and New Jersey. Stations opened will open at 6 o'clock local time. That's 10 o'clock GMT in New Jersey. And the last ones to close will be the California ones, which close at 3 o'clock on Wednesday GMT. You've got to think because they are on the West Coast. East Coast. So they're the West Coast. West Coast, sorry. Cheesedale. Oh, don't get that confused. But they're the ones, well, they've got they're further away for the GMT line. So, of course, they're going to be last to close. Of course, Donald Trump has been the presumptive nomination for a while. So, last update, according to the Associated Press, Clinton has 2383, and Sanders has 1569, definitely in the race. Trump has gotten to the 1239 numbers that he has, you know, he has needed. As we continue here on Tuesday with Dale Campbell, not Joe. My name is not Joe. My name is Dale. I am 100% sure of that. We will get to this poll that I've been teasing. It's going to be a massive letdown now. We're going to get to this poll, this Prime Minister poll. We'll break down what the Australian public thinks of this upcoming election, particularly in the US. And is Captain America... No. Well, don't believe everything you read, ladies and gentlemen. We have a crazy, crazy, crazy campaign on social media that outrages me, actually. You'd be surprised. It's 9:30.
Hi, at first left tune in instruments. J-A-D moves emotions to music.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks.
Oh, hi. Hello. Hello. Hi, I'm Dale. I'll move my emotions to music. Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Dale Campbell. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be here. Well, we're catching you up on everything. Everything election. Everything with the election. It's exciting. We're going to run down this poll that we've been teasing since the beginning of the show. So, a public poll, June 3rd, 2016. 2,414 residents across Australia during the evening of 2nd of June 2016. The first question was, of course, if the federal election were held today, who would you have your preference under? The Liberals scored about 37% of the vote, with Labor being 32%, Greens with 9.5%, the Fionn team with 4.3 and 6.6 going to other, undecideds being 8.5. Yikes. And the two-party preferred basis is neck and neck. Of course, it's been neck and neck since about the beginning of April. Who do you think would be a better prime minister? Well, Turnbull is about 11 points ahead. At 55-44, and you got to think, Mr. Shorten's numbers have improved, but I don't know, the debate performance, you have to think. Question 7, though. We've reached the middle of the election campaign. Regardless of how you said you would vote, which leader do you think is performing better? Mr. Turnbull, in total, scored 48.1%, with Mr. Shorten performing 51.9%. Basically saying that Mr. Shorten is performing better than Malcolm Turnbull. Amongst undecideds, they're leaning towards Malcolm Turnbull 51-48, or 49, it's 48.9, so 49, 51-49. Amongst Green voters, 76-24, sorry, I need to work on my rounding. Amongst Labour supporters, 90-10. Amongst LNP voters, you've got 86 to Turnbull, 14 to Shorten. Interesting. Interesting stuff. Though, so he might not be a better Prime Minister, but he's performing better in this halfway point of the election campaign. 8.5% of people, we've got 4 weeks to the election, and 8.5% of people are still not decided on who they're going to vote for. That is crazy to me. Now, of course, I know who I'm voting for. That shouldn't come to surprise to anyone, though. But, and nor should it. You know, that's not the real point here. But if you have no idea who you're going to vote for, I recommend to do one thing, and that is to do research. This information is available publicly, and a lot of people are going to do their research before they vote, because people are smart when they vote, I believe. Otherwise, I mean, something drives you. Whether it be picking people at eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which I hope no one does, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Now, I have something to get off my chest. So, here is my long-awaited response to the stupidity that is people trying to force Captain America to be gay. Now, this might come as a surprise to some people, and I might enrage a few people. And if you haven't seen Captain America Civil War, well, that's not my problem at this point. Needless to say that, yeah, spoilers. No, I don't have anything. Do I have anything handy? No, I don't. I just have this. I don't know. Spoilers. Yeah, there you go. There, that's your warning. If you're not out by now, I don't know what you're doing. Now, here we go. Why? That is my response. Why? Why does everyone... No, what? No. We can have straight characters. The point of this make Captain America gay hashtag that has been going around for a while now is that he and apparently Bucky of the Captain America films have some good chemistry. Now, the spoiler warning part of it is, to backstep slightly, is that in Civil War, Steve Rogers learns that Peggy Carter has died, and not long after attending a funeral, shares a kiss with Peggy's niece, Sharon Carter. Now, despite that, that's not a good thing, according to an article that I saw online today. Now, here's the thing, and I get progression at the best of times, but you know, you know, some things should be left the way they are. And I have to say this as a person of that persuasion myself. I don't want Hollywood to cave on this one. And here's why. Now, I say this, but a little bit of background to those people who don't know me. I had a relatively conservative upbringing. And it's not that I do hold some of those values to myself. Forcing actors and actresses to do things. Now, you got to think of the consequences if Hollywood decides to cave to this, make Captain America gay. You've got to think of the ramifications that this will have. You've got to think that not only does this completely screw up all sorts of storylines in the Captain America comics and stuff like that. Do you think these actors have to act this out? Chris Evans, who is not of that persuasion, and I've got to assume, who plays Bucky Barnes? Someone help me out here. Who plays Bucky? Sebastian Stan. Now, you've got to think these two actors have to, you know, act that out. Assuming that it is those two, you could argue, yes, you could get the two stand-ins to perform that act. Sure, that is an argument. Yes, Chris Evans' brother is gay, openly gay. I'm not ousting him here, but I don't know who Sebastian Stan's stand-in is. And there's this article here that this all spawned from the give Elsa a girlfriend controversy. Why are we forcing people to do things again? Why are we messing with stories that people are fans of? Why are we ruining those stories? And someone answer me that, and I will give them a cookie. Seriously, though, you gotta think. Why? And this article that I'm reading is terrible. Now, let me give you a sneak preview of this article, by the way. Will Captain America reveal that he is in a homosexual relationship with Bucky the Winter Soldier? No! He won't. Why? Because they're straight dudes. I'm sorry, but stories are the way they are for a reason. For a collective reason. Stories have a purpose. And I'm being fully serious here. I'm not... This anger is not dramatized. Dramatized? I don't know. It's real. I mean, I'm furious about this. And look at Captain America, the character himself. Why? It wouldn't make sense if he came out as homosexual. It wouldn't. He's a soldier who was frozen after World War II, I'm led to believe. Or I believe so, if memory serves me correctly. Why? Oh, he had a coming of age moment. Bull hucky. That is not true. I've had people in real life make that argument to me, and I've said bull hucky to them. I've replaced the word hucky with something that is of expletive nature that begins with the letter F, And hint, it's not the word fire truck. But, or fruitcake. But the point is, why are we messing with stories these days? Why? I get that the give the Elsa a girlfriend thing is separate. How, I may add, how you might be asking or screaming at your radios, why is it different? Because, I'll tell you why. Because it is different. Because Frozen is not based off three Marvel Cinematic Universe universe movies for a start. There's been a Frozen movie. Now I'm looking up at the moment when the first comic for Captain America came out. It's loading, it's taking forever. 1969, Captain America came out in 1941 for a start. We're talking about 1941. There was no this homosexual forcing of characters. 1941? The hell? The what? And I get that. I get that. I don't know where I was going with that. I get that. Excuse me. I get trying to keep characters relevant in the modern age. I really do. But Captain America has a girlfriend already. We've seen their relationship in Civil War. We have video proof. We have visual proof on a screen. Even for those people who don't read the comics, we have visual proof that he's not into dudes. Get it? Alright. I just wanted to, people have been asking me about that. And I just wanted to get that off my chest. That the difference between this, between give Captain America a boyfriend and give Elsa a girlfriend, is that Frozen is a movie that came out in 20 something or other. When did Frozen come out? When did Frozen come out? 2014? 2015? 2013. Wow, Dale. How did you not remember that? But Captain America should not change. Now, I should clarify this in the minute that we have left here. Let me clarify something. I'm not against gay people or gay people in general in entertainment, obviously. But when you're trying to force your agenda on a pre-existing character who already has a significant other, then you're just forcing your agenda. And that I'm not okay with. So we continue here on the Generic Live Show. That is a rant and a half. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how you do a rant. GLS, thank you for joining us. Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris are no longer a thing, but Taylor Swift did something a little bit interesting. Let's continue. It's 9:50.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. It's so good to be here. Thank you very much for tuning in. By the way, if you are listening to the podcast and, you know, if you want to send me hate mail in regards to the last segment, you're more than welcome to. I can have the conversation. You can send it to thechefwonder@gmail.com. You can send that in. Put GLS in the subject line so I know, so it doesn't come through in the spam filter. thechefwonder@gmail.com, or leave comments. I'm happy to have the conversation. But if you think about what I'm saying, you'll understand. Anyway, enough about that. Anyway, so Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris are no longer together. A match made in heaven. Nope, just stop. You listen to the ad. If you listen to the commercials, you'll see. I've gone their separate ways, but Tay-Tay made a dream come true for a New Jersey couple. The 26-year-old Grammy winner surprised their bride and groom, Kenya Smith and Max Smith, by showing up to their wedding and performing an acoustic version of her 2014 hit, Blank Space. Wedding guests, along with the newlyweds, were completely shocked, but it turns out it was a ruse, which was all organized by Max's sister. Quote, as it was happening, we just looked at Ali, and she had that smile like she knew what was going on, unquote, Max told Access Hollywood. I think, what is this video? About to play a video from Twitter. It's dangerous. Let's see what it... But you would come back each time you leave. Cause darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever. You can sing along. That is Tay-Tay there doing some a-roosening. In April, Ali wrote Swift a letter explaining that her mother had recently passed away and that Max went ahead and married Kenya in the hospital so that his mum wasn't going to miss it. Now grab your Kleenex, because Max and his mum's first dance was to Blank Space. The bride's cousin, Gage Simpson, caught Swift's performance on video and posted it on Twitter, which is what you just heard the audio from. The newly single Swift took to Instagram to post an adorable picture of herself and the bride and groom with a cheeky caption, Third Wheel. It's an awesome photo, actually. Swift and Harris confirmed their breakup earlier in the week, much to the shock of their loyal Taven fans, who had convinced they had headed to the altar. Aww. And there we go. And Taylor made a little frame for them. A handmade card with a line from Blank Space. So it's going to be forever. It's adorable. Here you go, Tay-Tay, doing the world a good. Yay! There you go. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Remember, we're going to be here every single Sunday from 9 till 11. 2 hours of GLS every single Sunday. Sunday. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone, by the way. Sunday, starting this Sunday, from 9 till 11. And that is from 7 till 9 Sunday morning in the US Eastern Time as well. So stay tuned for that. Lots to see and do. We'll see you all Sunday. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. It's 9:59. This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net.
delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AM Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.